And now, today's word.
Today I'm concluding my teaching on developing a plan for my life, and this is part number 4, developing a plan for my life, and my subtitle is Make It Happen. Make It Happen. And what I'm going to do today, since we have a lot to do, I'm going to preach very briefly. I'm going to talk about how to make all of this come together. And then later on, I will, right after that, I will walk you through the document that you would be served with to help you develop your plan. And I would walk you through the document a little bit to see some of the areas that you must pay attention to and how you should approach it to develop a 10-year plan for your life. It covers 2024 to 2034. And each one of us are going to endeavor to develop a plan for our lives. And I trust that God will give us the strength and the wisdom to make the plan a reality. So, make it happen. No matter how well we plan, no matter how much we put on paper, no matter how much we work, at the end, it must happen. And we go back to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in Luke's Gospel, chapter 14 and verse 28. We quoted it at the beginning of the series when we are talking about to plan or not to plan, and also looking at the different mindsets that people have about planning. And Jesus says in Luke chapter 14, verse 28, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it?" Of course, in the immediate sense, Jesus is talking about building a physical object like a tower. But the principle there can be applied to our lives, to our future, to our marriages, to our businesses, to all the things that we want to achieve in life. Jesus is teaching us valuable lessons on how to plan for our lives. And there are three thoughts that I want to share with you from this passage. The first is, plan for the future. Plan for the future. That means we must have a long-term view of life. Having a long-term view of life is important because it helps us to see the future not only from the immediate and what we have now, it helps us to see the future ahead of us. Plan for the future. Have a long-term or a longer-term plan. I know most of us have planned. We have plans for the day. We have planned for the hour. We have plans for probably a week. But we must go beyond today and 1 hour and a week to start thinking about 5 years and 10 years and 20 years. And it's always important to do that, because when you plan for the future, it helps you allocate your resources well. Things you cannot do today, you can build up to do later in your life. So it's always good to have a plan for the future. So that's the first thought Jesus is telling us. Second is that we must work it out one day at a time. Although we plan for the future, we don't take a leap into the future. We live moment by moment, day by day. We grow day by day. We plan day by day. We live day by day. And it's amazing what can happen when we plan something every day, or we live out our lives every day. I remember so well when we were entering the year 2000. How many of you were born then? Okay, I know some of you were not born, before then. It's amazing that it's 24 years since the year 2000, and some people who were born 2000 are getting married now, probably have children. That's amazing. And the big deal then in 2000 was that on the when 2000 comes, the world will be thrown in chaos and computers will stop malfunctioning. And there was a bug that was fed into all computers, what they call the Y2K bug. And there was a whole lot of things to do. And before then, you know, the year 2000 seemed very far away. Almost every country had a vision for the year 2000. Ghana had a vision for that, somewhere in the 80s, the vision 2000. And everybody was aiming at 2000. And it seemed like 2000 would never come. But one day at a time, 2000 came. And it passed. And one day at a time, we are now 2024. Can you imagine it? 24 years since 2000. And one day at a time will be 2034. Before you realize it is here. And whether you plan for it or you didn't plan for it, it will show up. So life sometimes seems slow, but life is very predictable. One day at a time. Things happen. We started January, not long ago. Crossover, we're going to cross over. We crossed over. We are now ending May. We'll be June before we realize 2024 is over, and then 25, 26, and then we are 30, and 35, and 30, 34, and 35, and 2040. And before you realize, we are now 2050. Whether you plan for time or not, it's going to happen. You can't stop time. So we have to work it out one day at a time. And the third thing Jesus is teaching us is that we have to fill in the gaps. And this is a very important thing we'll be talking a lot about today. A gap is the space between where you are and where you want to be. Jesus says, if you look at the tower, that's where you want to be. But then he says, do you have what it takes? Can you finish it? Can you build it? That means between where you are and your dream, there is a gap. It can be time gap, it can be a financial gap, it can be a skill gap or a talent gap, but there is a gap. But thank God, time helps us to fill in the gaps so that what you don't have now, you can build towards to have, in order to have your dream become a reality. So if you want to build a house, build a life, you have to have a plan for the future. You're going to live it one day at a time, and then you're going to fill in the gaps. You're going to find out that there are things you don't have now, the things you cannot do now, but God will help you to fill in the gaps so that you can build capacity to do the things that he wants us to do. Then we go to the book of Daniel, and I would end with the book of Daniel. Chapter 1, verse 5-8. And it says, and the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of that time they might serve before the king. Now from among those of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. To them the chief of the eunuchs gave names. To Daniel he gave the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah Shadrach, to Mishael Meshach, to Azariah Abednego. Verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. The king of Babylon had a plan for Daniel and his friends. And Daniel also had a plan for himself. The king has a plan for you. He says, I also have a plan for myself. And if you read the account of Daniel, he lived in Babylon for over 70 years. By the time he went to Babylon, he was about 15 years old, 15, 16, a teenager from the nobility of Judah, captured into Babylon. And when he went, the king says, I have a plan for you, Mr. Daniel. I'm going to train you, and I'm going to use you. And what did Daniel do? Daniel also had a plan for himself. Because, you know, one of the things you're going to note in life is that if you don't have a plan for yourself, somebody will have a plan for you. Sometimes you meet good people whose plans for you are good and coincide with God's plan for your life. And then sometimes you meet bad people whose plans for you are bad and are very far away from God's plan for your life. And if you're not careful, you'll be sucked into somebody's plan. So the question you ask yourself is, if you were Daniel, am I living the plan of God for my life, or am I living Nebuchadnezzar's life and his plan for my life? Whose plan are you working on? Whose plan are you following? Is it yours? Is it God's? Is it somebody's? Did a person intend it well for you? Of course, Nebuchadnezzar was going to train Daniel, but the training was going to serve only the purpose of Nebuchadnezzar. So the Bible says in verse 8 that Daniel purposed in his heart. Daniel purposed in his heart. And that's the word I want to focus on. Purposed in his heart. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not become a victim of somebody's plan. So if my plan, your plan, a 10-year plan is going to become a reality, we must purpose in our heart. Purpose in our heart. It's okay to write things. One of the things I like about Ghanaians is that we like write. We like writing. When I used to run a consultancy, I would organize seminars and workshops, and people would come and take a lot of notes, and they want handouts. Oh, where are the notes? Where is this? Where is that? And we pile up books and notes, never read them, never practice them. I don't want your 10-year plan to become one of those things you pile up and you never pay attention to. You're going to be like Daniel. You're going to purpose in your heart. And what does it mean to purpose in your heart? Four things it means. First, it means to settle it in your heart. Settle it in your heart. Living a purposeful or a purpose-filled life is a choice. It means to be determined to do it with all your being. Until something is settled in your heart, it will not bear fruit in your life. Settle it in your heart. Number two, to purpose means to schedule it in your plans. Schedule it. Make plans for it. Make room for it. And number three, it means to speak about it often. Think it, talk it. Think it, talk it. When something is important to you, you don't keep silent about it. You think it and you talk it. And number four, you must seek for it daily. Seek for it daily. So if you participated in this exercise 10 years ago when we're doing the 20-year plan, we filled a form, and I have developed a new form. It's not the same as the old, it's an improved form. We're going to make it available to as many as can have it and want it. You'll be provided at the end of the message with a QR code that you can scan and have the access to the document. The QR code will take you to a place where you will fill in your name and your email and your phone number. And I think there's a question on whether you are a member of ICGC or not. And the reason we're asking for those details is because I want to make this not just a one-time project. So there will be updates to this document that will be coming to you in the email. And every year, we will mail you something to help you do a review of your plan, whether you're on track or out of track. So make sure that we get your details and your phone number so we can keep track with you. It's one thing filling a form and another thing seeing, working it through. And sometimes, you know, life happens. You start doing something, you say, I'm going to make it. And then life slaps you. Then you say, I won't make it. So sometimes you need somebody to come and say, hey, you know, 6 months ago or a year ago, you filled the form. What have you done? Are you on track? What are you doing with your plan? And so that's what we want to be able to do, so that frequently we'll come back to you and ask you questions to prompt you to go and review your document. And every year you can go back and see, am I on track? Have I deviated? Should I review the plan? Should I set new goals? You know, sometimes you set a goal and then within 2 years you've fulfilled it and then you have 8 more years and you don't know, what should I do for the next 8 years? So we will help you so that you can augment your plans, you can improve on it, and we'll give you supplementary documents that you can work on, and hopefully it will be a journey that we can participate in with you, so that the next 10 years of your life will be very, very meaningful. Now, we are doing all of this free of charge. Free of charge. We're not charging you for anything, but you should also be mindful. So somebody says, so how do I pay for this? You pay for it by succeeding. Are you getting me? Because I spent all the time putting this together myself, personally. I didn't have somebody doing it. I did it thinking through what I should put down. Now, don't waste my time. Are you getting it? Don't waste my time. I could just have preached on something else and just say, be blessed, and throw water on you and say, go home. And then, I mean, you'll be happy with it that part of the water dropped on you. But I'm saying, yeah, I mean, but I'm giving you something that you can tangibly work through. Please, don't waste my time. All right, so let's work it. So when you take you look at the document, there is a preamble, and can we, so that you'll see the preamble. It starts with your name. Please write your proper name there. And then, the verse I quoted from Luke is there. And then what God gave to David in the building of the temple, just to say that God works with plans, and we must also work with plans, and so on. And there's a little preamble there. And then we go to the next page, and the next page is going to see, this is where I am in 2024. And it's going to begin with your age, your current age, not your football age, your current age. Not the one you. Now, this document is not going to come to us, so don't bother that your secrets will leak. Be honest with yourself. If you've told everybody you are 34, but you know truly that you are 50, please. Work with the 50, because, you know, you can't deceive yourself. So be very honest with yourself. This is my age as I know it to be true, my current age. And then, so there are some questions there, my family life, whether you're single, divorced, married, widowed, you tick which one is appropriate. It's not to say that if you are married and part of your 10-year plan is to become single. No. We don't go backwards, we're going forward, you know. So you're just trying to assess where you are now. I'm single, I'm married, I'm divorced, I'm widowed. So it's going to feature into your plans for the next 10 years. What am I going to do? Of course, if you're married, you intend to remain married. If you're single, probably you want to be married. If you're widowed, maybe you want to marry, maybe you want to be single. In the next 10 years, how do you want to see your life? So this is just to do the assessment. And then your spiritual life, am I fully assured of my salvation? Do I really know I'm born again? Am I in right relationship with God? Not sure, still seeking, somewhat sure, very sure. Because the way you feel it will determine what plans you would make for the next 10 years. And how well do I know the Bible? Not much, a little bit, well enough, quite well. Or am I living a Christian life? Not at all. This is self-assessment. You look at yourself and say, I know I am not living the Christian life at all. So put it down there. Because it's going to help you to plan for the next few 10 years. Maybe your next 10 years is, I want to really grow in my Christian life. So you start from zero, but you're going to end up a hero. You're going to end up well. The fact that you assess and you are at the bottom does not mean you are destined for the bottom. You have 10 years to change your current view into a new view. So the way you feel that this is very, very important. Be brutally honest with yourself. All right? Or sometimes I do. Most times I do leave that. So, and then skills and competence. What is my highest level of training? And you determine whether you consider yourself my level of training is. And it's not necessarily educational achievement. It is how you value your training level, your competence level. Is it primary, secondary, tertiary, doctoral? How do you see it yourself? What are my areas of expertise? That is, what do I do best? And please don't tell me I lie best. Okay, but fill it in, be honest, because in the end, you're going to use it to improve your life. And what are my most visible skills? What people know I can do? Because, you know, sometimes you think, this is my strength, but nobody recognizes it. And people rather think you are something else. So you're looking at what you think is your greatest strength, how you think people see you. And then you go to my career, that is number four. You know, there are 10 areas we have covered. My career, what I've done in the past, that means the jobs you've taken. Now, maybe the lines there may not be enough. You can continue on another sheet. But what I've done in the past, the jobs I've done, experiences in places I've worked, and then what I am doing now, right now that I'm filling the form, this is where I am. What is my career path? What's my career path is based on where I am now, where is my career taking me? So if I work and I'm an assistant manager, in 10 years, where is this career taking me? Will it take me to become an MD if I follow the path? Will I ever become the MD? Will I become this? How do you see your career in the future? And then, number five, my relationships. Who is in my innermost circle? Who are your core people? Of course, it will include your spouse. And then, who helps me to be the best? Who are the people who you can say, oh, this guy helps me to be the best? And then, who brings the worst out of me? Who is this person that when I hang around, I just know that I'm messing up my life? Number five. Number six is on time. Who do I spend my time with? What do I spend my time on? Where do I spend my time? So think through how your time is divided. My finances, how much do I earn now? My savings and investments, my debts and my liabilities. Number eight, my infrastructural assets, undeveloped land. So do you have land that you bought, you've not developed? Then develop lands with buildings. lands that you bought and there is a building on it. And then income yielding properties, that is assets I have, like properties, land, buildings, which earn money for me. I earn money from it. So it earns income, because it's not just about acquiring property, it's using it to build your financial base. So you look at that. And then my health and well-being, health history, you know your health history. If you have some serious sicknesses and issues, put it down, because in the next 10 years, you're going to work on improving some of those things in your life. Medical checks, do you do medical checkups? Not at all. Sometimes, you know, some Ghanaians, their medical checkup is they do, I'm well. He's finished his medical checkup. So if you are one of those, that would be not at all. And sometimes, or I do it regularly, or I'm very regular with my medical checkups. And then number 10, the final one, how well my impact and legacy, how well am I known outside of my family? Outside of your family, who knows you? How well do people know you? Not at all, a little bit, quite well, very well. Am I making a difference with my life? Not at all, a little bit, quite well, very well. What am I doing to make the world a better place? In your own estimation, apart from just living your life, what are you doing to make the world a better place? Then we go to the next page. And the next page is dealing with, this is where I want to be in 2034. So this is very important. It's based on the same things we've done, but we start with the big picture of what I want to be. At the end of 2034, what is the big picture? What do you think is the big thing you want to achieve? What would you, how would you summarize your life? So that's the big picture. The person I want to become, do you want to be a productive person, an honest person, a trustworthy person, a dependable friend, a good father, a good mother? I mean, what kind of person do you want to be? And then the big things I want to achieve, concretely, the big things. For some of you, it may be build a house, finish my degree, get a PhD, whatever. What are big things you want to achieve in the next 10 years? And then we give you examples of goals and how, so that this is just to help you to know how you can fill in the document there. So we go to the next page, and the next page has very little except lines, because you are going to fill in all this next page. So we go back to family life. This is what I want for my family life. And you have three options there. If you want to increase it to 10, that's up to you, but we give you three. The reason we give three is we don't want you to overcomplicate your life. You know, be very clear about three specific things that you want to achieve. And then this is what I need to do to achieve that. And then you go to my spiritual life. This is what I want for my spiritual life. So if you said, I'm not sure of my salvation, you can say, I want to be sure of my salvation. I don't know the Bible very well. I want to really know the Bible very well. I want to pray very well. And then this is what I need to do to achieve that. Number three, skills and competencies. So depending on how you feel, the first one, you tell us about skills and competences, what you need to do. Career, this is where I want to be in my career. This is what I need to do. Relationships, these are the relationships I need to develop. And we've given you options there. Spiritually, what kind of relationships do you want to develop? Personally, what kind of relationship? Professionally, what kind of relationships? Maybe spiritually you can say, oh, I want to start a small Bible study in my at home so that I can have a people group I study with, or I want to join a small group in the church. What are your spiritual goals? Personal, family, I need to make friends with people who would really challenge me to become a better person, and I need to drop so-and-so from my life. professionally relationship. And this is what I need to do. And then time is the same, spiritual, personal, professional, and finances. That's a big one. This is how my finances should be. Regular income, so I'm earning 2 cedis. Now in 10 years, I want to earn 10 cedis as my regular income. Savings and investment, I have 2 cedis in my savings and investment. I want to be able to have 10 cedis in my savings and investments. Debt and liabilities, I owe 10 cedis. I want to reduce it to 2 cedis. So let's go to number 8. Number 8, the next one. Physical assets. It follows the first one, lands, developed properties, income earning properties, and this is what I need to do. Health and wellness, this is the health and well-being I desire. Medical status, maybe I need to manage my blood pressure, I need to manage the diabetes well, I need to make sure that I don't, you know, whatever it is. Eating and exercise plans, I don't eat well, I eat too much fufu at 9 p.m., I need to stop doing that, you know. Well-being habits, maybe I need to start taking vacations and spending 10 minutes every day relaxing my mind and spending time just reflecting on my life. That's well-being. If you are the ladies who say, I need to go to the spa once every quarter to go and just pamper myself at the spa, that's up to you. This is what I need to do. And finally, impact and legacy. This is the difference I want to make in my life, in my family. This is the kind of person I want to be in my church. This is the kind of person I want to be in my community. This is the kind of person I want to be. This is the impact I want my life to make. This is how I want to be remembered. And this is what I need to do to get there.
Thank you for listening to Living Word. To interact with Pastor Mensah Otobi, like his page on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter at Mensah Otobi. Email otobi@centralgospel.com or call +233 302 688 000.
I'm just